Lowering the feed costs in 2026. We all like that one. Let's talk winter grazing, even in the cold country. Crew, let's ranch it up. Good day, everyone, and thanks for riding with us on this all-new episode of the Ranch It Up Radio Show. I'm Jeff Tigger Earhart. A big thank you goes out to our partners for today's episode. Clear Springs Cattle Company bringing us the Bread for Balance sale. Pharmatan by Imagine Ingredients. LivestockMarket.com, RanchChannel.com, Westway Feed Products, Wrangler in this fine radio station. Cow Country News, you know, the cow stuff. Tyson Foods agreed to pay $82.5 million to settle a proposed class action lawsuit brought by grocers and other businesses that accuse the meat and poultry company of conspiring to inflate U.S. beef prices by restricting supply. The proposed settlement was disclosed in a filing in the U.S. District Court for the District of Minnesota. Attorneys for the plaintiffs said they were working on a final settlement agreement to submit to the court for approval. The lawsuit was filed on behalf of grocery stores, food distributors, and other businesses that purchased beef products directly from Tyson Foods. Plaintiffs allege that Tyson and other major beef producers conspired to limit production and raise prices for boxed beef and retail-ready cuts between 2015 and 2022. The Tyson settlement marked the second agreement reached with direct purchasers in the long-running beef antitrust litigation. JBS USA previously agreed to pay $52.5 million to resolve similar claims. That settlement, in which JBS denied wrongdoing, was approved by a judge back in 2022. We have to talk feeder cattle. Well, the Ozarks Regional Stockyards in West Plains, Missouri launched 2026 with a bang, hosting one of the most remarkable sales in its storied history. The January 2nd special pre-vac sale shattered records, setting 28 new all-time highs, including never-seen-before prices for 4, 5, 6, and 7-weight steers. The 5-weight stole the spotlight, posting 8 of the top 10 highest prices ever recorded at the barn, highlighted by 19 head at 521 pounds, selling for $515, and another 10 head at 516 pounds, bringing $505, the first 5-weight sales to ever break the $5 mark. Time for our first break here on the Ranch It Up Radio Show. When we come back, we're talking about cutting costs in 2026. Keep it parked. We'll be back right after this.
RanchChannel.com. I'll give you just a few seconds to head there on your phone. RanchChannel.com. Your farm and ranch network on demand. Bull sales, Western events, product information. Right at your fingertips on the ultimate cowboy-friendly platform. Want to follow up-to-date markets? RanchChannel.com. No need to dig for information on all these different websites. It's all right there on RanchChannel.com. Y'all are loving it now, aren't you?
Are you looking for the best way to raise healthy, productive beef? Look no further than Westway Feed Products. Westway's liquid supplements support increased forage utilization, efficiency, convenience, and sustainability. With Westway Feed, scientifically formulated liquid feed, your cattle will gain weight faster and stay healthier, ensuring you get the best return on your investment. Visit westwayfeed.com or call 800-800-7517 to learn more. Westway Feed Products, raising the bar in beef production. One supplement at a time. John Fox shares his experience with the demand for his Galvey-influenced cattle.
We've got a reputation. Whenever we sell our cattle, we've got some buyers that want to know when we're going to sell. That's another positive, you know, well, we're going in the right direction. Even in the times whenever there was so many cattle moving, you know, the cow numbers were higher, we still had that demand for our cattle. They have been performing, you know, outside of our realm. And so that's another feather in our hat, I guess you could say.
Learn more about how your crossbreeding counts at Galvey.org.
Cattle Battle.
Welcome back to the Ranch It Up Radio Show, the most information packed into a 30-minute program that you can find. It's your All Things Ranching Newscast, and so glad to be hanging out with y'all. You can get a hold of us at any time by texting or calling 707-RANCH20. That's 707-726-2420, and our email, ranchitupshow@gmail.com. Cutting costs in 2026, that is our goal. Heck, I think that's everyone's goal. But the trick is to maximize the efficiency while reducing costs without sacrificing production. I just made it sound a whole lot more complicated than it really is, but let's start by looking at feed input. Feeding the cows cheaper. Here comes the potential solution, and that is winter grazing. I know. Now, winter grazing is very different from neighbor to neighbor, state to state, region to region. What it looks like up north is completely different when compared to the south, for example. But here is the takeaway. Regardless of the region, the less times that you have to harvest that forage, rake it, bale it, haul it, stack it, grind it, feed it, unroll it, the more dollars we save. It adds up more than a person realizes. Now, we head north to the harsh winter environment of North Dakota, McKenzie, North Dakota to be exact, and home of Jace Doan with the Blackleg Ranch. The Doan family is known as an enterprising, forward-thinking outfit with implementing all types of different grazing strategies throughout the year. In addition to custom grazing, sell and intensive grazing, their commercial cow-calf outfit, even incorporating buffalo into the mix. Jace, thanks for coming on the program and visiting with us. Winter grazing in North Dakota, how and why?
We try to winter graze as much as we can. If we're able to keep them cows out on like a cover crop or something, it'll save $300 per cow for the winter. And when you're talking 500 or 1,000 cows, I mean, that's a huge amount of money that you can save. Now, when the weather gets real inclement, you obviously have to supplement them. And I don't want anybody to think that we don't feed our cows, because that's just not reality. When they need to be fed, they get fed. But on beautiful fall or winter days, you might feed cows 30 bales and they won't touch them, because they'll be out there foraging for cover crops that were in really good condition going into the freeze.
So will they prefer that? Will those cows prefer to kind of break through that crust of snow to get after that forage versus go to that bale that's sitting in front of them?
Some of them do. You have some lazy cows, but if you sit out there and watch, you have cows that are leaders and they'll go through and bulldoze a path. And they'll pick up like a turnip or something and eat half of it and drop it. And then the lazy ones will come along and finish it off.
They got to figure it out.
Yeah. No, it's very, very much true. It can be used as a culling mechanism too. If you really wanted to go hardcore into the winter grazing deal to sit out there and watch animals, how they react and respond to winter grazing. And if there's a bunch of lazy cows out there and you don't like that, then use it as a culling mechanism.
So how does a person get into winter grazing, and what types of forages has it been in your experience that you've had available? I don't want to say should, because we're always learning, of course, but that you've implemented on the Blackleg Ranch for a winter grazing program.
We use like a 25 species mix out there, trying to cover all your classifications of plants, you know, from your legumes to your cool seasons, warm seasons, all that stuff. And there's probably no perfect mix. You kind of go based on what seed is cheap and it'll just fluctuate year after year. There's not a perfect mix. People always ask Dad or I what we have in our mix, and we're like, well, just as long as you have your plant bases covered, it doesn't really matter what's in your mix. But I mean, if you want to get into winter grazing, just run the numbers. Most people like feeding their cows too much to really see how much they're spending on feeding their cows. I
mean, yeah, why is that? Why is that, Jace, that we like feeding? Why is that?
I think it's just a mentality deal. You obviously don't want your cows to be in poor condition or anything. But again, if you're doing your due diligence and sending in tests on manure and everything and just seeing if them cows are lacking anything, you shouldn't really be worried about anything. And honestly, your bottom line is what kind of matters the most. And so if you can save $300 per head by winter grazing, or even if you can save $100 per head by winter grazing part of the time, why wouldn't you do that? I mean, every year we lose more and more producers in the cattle business, and there's more and more grassland that's broke up because people think their cows can't make any money and crop rents over $100. Well, sit down and run some numbers. I mean, there's probably a reason your cows aren't making any money if you're consistently putting all these high inputs into them. So, I mean, it's just a way for people to stay in business and keep cattle out on the range, keep range in grass and not convert it to cropland.
And the ability to really kind of analyze that cow herd, or at least what I've talked to other people that they have really tried to focus on this winter grazing. And I should preface this by saying winter grazing as long as we can. There gets a point in the northern climates that there is too much snow out there that, of course, then we got to start feeding. However, it can really start to your cows start to group themselves. And again, I don't have experience with this. I am just repeating what people have told me, and they have said that your cows, whether it be a big registered outfit and they're selling bulls in the high elevation country, or it could be just a bunch of commercial cows on the Great Plains, that they have seen that their cows will start to group themselves in terms of efficiency. And you can really start to break that down on step one before maybe you go into genomic testing or something like that to really prove it, but they will start to separate those cows out where, you know, back, and I'm aging myself, we call them harder doing cattle or easier doing cattle, that you can see those cows that are scientifically, biologically, and genetically more efficient, and they can survive on less based on their ability to convert feed. And guys have said that, boy, I tell you what, our cow herd starts to separate themselves and it makes the culling that much easier.
Yeah, for sure. And if you can use that as a culling mechanism and create some cows that work for you instead of you having to work for your cows, and cows that are profitable. I mean, we've bred the profitability, in my opinion, kind of out of cattle to need high inputs in order for them to perform. And I mean, that's fine. And that's fine if it works for your operation. But if you're at the end of the day, if you're not making money on the cattle, then you should probably just look at your cattle herd and your bank statement and see what can I do different.
Exactly. Exactly. So in terms of what you've had to do different, and I'm fascinated about the whole grazing concept and managing grass and soil. I think those two go hand in hand when we're talking about that, because really that's what we're doing. We're managing grass is what we're doing. The cows take care of it, Jace. They are an efficient foraging machine. We are managing soil and we're managing grasses and we're managing environment is really what we're doing, at least in my opinion. So have you had to change your calving period based on your winter grazing scenario? Have you pushed that back a little further than maybe it was? And I'm going to say this too, it's just as easy to calve a cow on a nice green pasture as it is in a snowbank at 30 below.
Well, yeah, I mean, you don't see deer out there fawning in the dead of January. And again, if that works for your operations model, more power to you. But when I was younger, Dad was calving in March in a barn in a slop. And one year he lost 100 calves to scours. He was just working himself to death. And I mean, I vividly remember that, because fortunately my dad was always progressive in wanting to adapt, I guess, at least in his later years, to try and bring profit back into it and try and bring some quality of life back into it. So yeah, we pushed our calving date back ideally to like the 1st of May. I mean, I still calve cows in April, sometimes even earlier. It depends on what your goals are and what works for you. But statistically, cows that are calving out on the range in dry hills are going to be probably healthier than ones that are calving in muck and snow and slop and confinement. And so, I mean, we've kind of seen that. We don't treat calves for scours anymore. It's just not an issue for us.
When we just kind of land the plane on this, regardless if it is a winter grazing situation or trying to implement that, and I use the word try, or if it's grazing yearlings, or if it's custom grazing, what this kind of comes down to is, just like everything, you really have to look at what your place can sustain. Right. I mean, because it's going to take grass and it's going to take different kinds of grass, and creating different income streams or being curious about creating different income streams is the absolute best way to go. I'm going to argue with anybody about that one. But really, and I would assume when you are talking to different people and you do present to different associations, just like you're doing with us, sharing your experience, not saying this is the best. You're just saying good, bad, and indifferent. This is what we've done, and this is what we've learned and how we can improve. It just kind of takes really stepping back and micromanaging, analyzing really your situation, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Just looking at the bigger picture, and a big thing that's helped us is looking at everything in more of a holistic approach. Not just seeing a solution and looking for a problem and looking for a topical solution. You kind of look at how it affects the operation in a whole and what you could do to better the operation as a whole, I guess.
Jay Stone, thanks for coming on the program and sharing with us. This topic of winter grazing has me fascinated because it takes those that are doing it to really share what works and what doesn't work to give others ideas. So if you have any information, please share it our way. You can call or leave a message on the hotline at 707-RANCH-20. You can text that number, 707-726-2420. Yeah, just fire me a text and say, hey, Tigger, call me back at such and such a number. We'd love to visit with y'all. Now, coming up in just a few weeks, one of the enterprises I mentioned that Jason and his family does is custom grazing, another potential option if the risk is too high for some in owning your own calves out there on the grass. We'll have more on that coming up in the next few weeks. Now time for a quick break, and when we come back, the year-end numbers in a 2026 outlook with Kirk and the Ranch Channel sales calendar. Bull season is here. We've got it all coming up on the Ranch It Up radio show when we return, so keep it parked.
If you're buying or selling cattle, make your first stop livestockmarket.com. Bred cows, heifers, pairs, bulls and frozen genetics, even feeder calves. You'll find them all at livestockmarket.com. Livestock Market features private treaty sales, online auctions, and live production sale bidding. You'll also find horses, sheep, goats, and hay. Check out the free Livestock Market magazine wherever you pick up Tractor House, and download the Livestock Market mobile app today.
Hey, Tigger and Beck. Hope everything's going well for you and your listeners. This is Travis Wolf here from Clear Springs Cattle Company, and we're gearing up for our 2026 Bred for Balance sale. It's going to be February 13th this next year here in Starbuck, Minnesota. Join us on DV Auction or check out our website, bredforbalance.com, and follow myself, Travis Wolf, on Facebook to stay updated with all the latest lot information and catalog. Thanks. Have a great day.
That's the Clear Springs Cattle Company and their annual Bred for Balance sale, February 13th in Starbuck, Minnesota, home of Superior Simmental and Simangus Genetics.
Hi, I'm Chase Keller. A little about Farmer Tan products on my operation here. I feed Farmer Tan products year-round, have for 2 or 3 years now, and I have not had to treat a single calf for scours. I haven't lost a calf for scours. I believe fully in Farmer Tan products and helping my profitability on my operation.
For more information, go to PharmaTanUSA.com. Welcome back, everyone, to the Ranch It Up radio show. Y'all know what happens next. It's that time in the program. We check in with Kirk Donsbach, StoneX Financial Incorporated, recapping the markets from last week. Well, I should say from last year, actually, Kirk, is what we're going to recap as we rounded it out. So what did 2025, when we put it to bed, what did it look like?
That's right, Tigger, and Happy New Year to all your listeners out there. As of Friday, January 2nd, January feeder futures closed the week at 356.35. That's up 10.05 on the week, with a CME feeder index up 90 cents at 350.22. That left the basis at a negative 613 versus January. So right at the end of the year, their futures ran out ahead of cash a little bit. February live cattle closed the week at 236.17.5. That's up 642.5 on the week, with cash trading 230.5 to 232. That left the five area weighted average up $1.30 at 230.53. And the basis, a negative 564 versus February futures. So same case with live cattle. Futures definitely ran up ahead of cash right at the end of the year there. Choice boxes closed down 124 on the week. And that is off the lows earlier in the week, but the close was at $349.97. Boxes are very concerning. Weekly slaughter was 474,000. That's up 48,000 week over week and 31,000 head below the same week last year. Dress weights were down 1 pound to 896 pounds, which is 15 pounds more than last year. Combination of lower slaughter and higher weights left yearly production starting 2026 4.6% below the same week last year. To wrap this up, March corn closed the week at 437. That's down 12.5. Corn continues to consolidate between 435 and 452.
Well, I tell you what, Kirk, cash sales here the last week were kind of incredible. I mean, people were using the word hot to describe them. Feeder sales were really, really, really good. So as we look now into 2026, into that little crystal ball, I know there's been a lot of scuttlebutt with people speculating what could potentially happen this year. And I know that's, you know, take a dart and throw it at a dartboard and that's what you're going to get. But when you're kind of looking at numbers and you're kind of looking and analyzing this and establishing trends, what are you seeing here? Now that we're into January, we're into a new year, are you seeing a lot of confidence in these markets, a lot of faith in these markets? I guess I'm asking you, how high can these things go, buddy?
I think there would actually be a lot of concern in these markets. I think everybody feels the market will be fairly strong on the fat cattle side, but there's a lot of concern with the price that's being paid on the buy side. The fats will get up high enough to make those numbers work. Obviously, this could just be seasonal weakness and, you know, nothing to see here. Or boxes trading where they are could be a sign of some stress on the demand side. I'm very, very concerned about the demand side. With that being said, it looks like the equities are doing quite well today, so maybe that worry's all about nothing, but I guess we'll see.
So what do you mean when you say you're very, very concerned on the demand side? Break that down for us just for a little bit.
The demand for our beef products at the retail level at these prices. We're definitely seeing unit sales down in all the major retailers for beef, not just beef, for all things except for baby, but definitely in beef. Boxes have not gotten anywhere close to their 415 high since we saw that last year. And again, like I said, now sitting at the 349, almost 350. Profit margins for the packers are horrible, rumored to be pushing worst of the year. Obviously, all these really high prices only work if it can be pushed on through to the retailer.
And that's what I was going to ask you. That's what you mean is the consumer. How much can the consumer go to the grocery store, and are they willing to pay these prices for beef right now, I guess, is what you're meaning by demand, correct?
Yeah, and it's not only these prices right now. That, you know, they would have to rally even more to cover the extremely high cash prices being paid. Remember, that cycle is about a year, say 6 months to a year behind. You know, prices that you paid for a calf a year ago equal the retail price in the store. Not only do we have to meet those highs, we probably have to surpass the box beef highs to make all this work.
Are you sure your nutrition program is hitting the mark for your herd? Hey, I'm Shay Wanner, and I host the Casual Cattle Conversations podcast. I recently visited with veterinarian Blaine Lowe about vitamin A deficiency and what cattle producers can do to stay on top of their herd's vitamin needs. Here is a portion of our conversation.
Yes, vitamin A is a very critical nutrient, as are all vitamins. And first of all, vitamins are what we call mainly trace elements. They're very critical in a lot of different organ systems. It's involved with the gene expressions, so the genetics that have been selected and the performance that is expected. It's very critical to healthy skin, and that's also external and as well as internal. The linings of the eyes, the conjunctivitis that calves get with pink eye, the linings of the intestinal tract and the respiratory tract. So basically anything that I learned in veterinary school about diseases and the bacteria and viruses that impact these systems can be mitigated. You need some other things in there too, but it's a real critical component of healthy and productive cattle.
Ready to tune into the full conversation? Check out the Casual Cattle Conversations podcast on your favorite podcast player as soon as you're done listening to the Ranch It Up radio show.
The Ranch Channel Sales Series bull season is on, my dear friends. So let's start with the Zimmerman Ranch. Black balancer bulls and commercial open replacement heifers selling Saturday, January 17th in Steele, North Dakota. Then on to the Spruce Hill Ranch, Angus and Semangus bulls, Thursday, February 5th at the Bowman Auction Market in Bowman, North Dakota. Then Friday, February 6th, 6 Mile Angus at the Branded Bar Grill in Flasher, North Dakota. Now, 6 Mile Angus, it's kind of a diamond in the rough, and y'all need to check out the cow base producing these bulls. And then on Super Bowl Sunday, February 8th, Wrestler Land and Cattle, Red Angus Bulls, Commercial Heifers, very powerful two-year-old sons out of Cracker Jack and Destiny, by the way, that Sunday, February 8th at the ranch in Cooperstown, North Dakota. Now, lots of sales jumping on as we speak, literally across the country. Get all the details, catalogs, videos, bidding and buying information is available at ranchchannel.com. And don't forget those top dollar certified feeder cattle. When and where they are selling, it's all on ranchchannel.com. And now that's going to wrap it up for today. A big thanks goes out to our crew, Jace Doan with the Black Leg Ranch, Kirk Donsbach, StoneX Financial Incorporated, Shea Warner with Casual Cattle Conversations. And remember, if you have those winter grazing scenario do's and don'ts, if you will, we want to hear about them. Call or text the hotline, 707-RANCH-20. That's 707-726-2420. And our email, ranchitupshow@gmail.com. A big thank you goes out to our partners for today's episode, Clear Springs Cattle Company, Pharmatan by Imogene Ingredients, LivestockMarket.com, RanchChannel.com, Westway Feed Products, Wrangler, and this fine radio station. And crew, so glad y'all came with us one more time as we ranch it up. Be sure to spread the good word and join us again next week where it's always Tigger and Beck approved. Stay ranchy and ranch it up.